Wake up, Cove! Get your noses out of somebody else's butt. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenolith, and I'm Jane Emerald. This is yet another in a wonderful catalog, a wonderful list of podcasts that you can use to become more free and a much happier person, not following after every single little thing that comes up. You know, I was just sitting here looking at my recording studio at the laptop. I'm inside of a car going somewhere. And I think one of my goals is going to be that I want every single one of my podcasts to be able to fit on one of those old-style 3.5-inch floppy disks. That'll hold just about 25 minutes of this broadcast. Isn't that great? You can pass it around to your friends, even if they don't have the internet. They can pop it into their computer, and boom! They're listening to the ultimate in, God, what on earth should I call Quasi-Indefatigable Zenolith? The ultimate in walking away from modern culture. I don't know. I'm going to have to come up with something better than that. Anyway, I'm going to try to keep these things kind of small because I want people to be able to enjoy them and listen to them, and also to be able to pass them around really, really easily, not just download them off the internet, but be able to pass them around on something as silly as a floppy disk that costs 10 cents. Fantastic. I like it already. Let me see. What on earth was I talking about last time? I don't remember. We were talking about the origins of the whole cow analogy of how people are like cows. You know, you could do it with 100 other things, but I think cows, not that I think a lot of people have a lot of experience with cows, but I think a lot of people can see it, you know. Cows have no purpose in life except to be ground into hamburger meat or to be turned into steaks or things like that. And I think in a whole lot of ways, our culture is the same way. We are basically trained, taught, our basic existence, at least as far as our society, as far as our culture, thinks of us, for the most part, for most people, is to be a product. You're a product that needs to be used, consumed, and used. You know, you can think of it in kind of the traditional, in kind of a communist way. The whole reason communism took off was because people, cows, normal people, were really dissatisfied because they felt they were being manipulated by their betters, better people, you know, people with more power, the czar, an employer, things like that. That they were being used and abused just because the boss man wanted to make more profits. He would pay you very little for your labor, and then he would turn around and he would sell whatever you created for a lot of money. But he would pocket it all, and he'd give very little to you for your part of whatever. You know? And that's where communism came from. It's this whole idea that we're going to get rid of all the owners. We're going to get rid of all the bosses, all the people that control our lives. And we're going to be in control of our lives. Of course, it didn't work for a minute because it was a silly idea. Because they thought they could collectively do this themselves, you know. They said, well, this factory is going to be owned by all these people. The only problem is, as soon as you do that, it starts falling apart because you need to have central management, you know. You need to have somebody that says, well, today we're going to do this and tomorrow we're going to do that, and we have to have things kind of in an assembly line, and we don't really have time, because it really takes a lot of time for a lot of people to come to an agreement on how things should be done. It's much more efficient, which is the absolute most important thing in our entire world, is to be efficient. Efficiency makes everything work. And in a communist system, that didn't work. So you begin to have these kind of funny managers. He didn't call them managers. You know, everybody was comrades. Everybody looked at each other, and we were all on the same level. But then all of a sudden, he had this managerial class that kind of came up. That their job, because they had gone to school and they had learned the principles of management, because that was what they were supposed to be good at in this big plan that communists and socialists tend to have. They, all of a sudden, they began to take control. You know, they would call you on the telephone if you didn't show up at work, and they'd rag on you, and they'd tell you how much you weren't being a good little part of the system, that the system was going to fall apart if you didn't show up. And all of a sudden, instead of having a czar or a king or an employer, you had basically the same thing. He just had a different title, but he still ran your life just as efficiently. But he was telling you that it was all part of some master plan that was going to make everything great for everybody else. You didn't own anything because everybody owned everything. But the problem was, the managers ended up controlling everything, so it was just like ownership anyway. It fell apart. And it's still basically that way. It doesn't matter what everyone thinks, you know. Oh, my employer, he's such a jerk. He's so evil. And you go, but yeah, but he pays you money for what you do. And the whole point is that you want that money, so you're going to pretty much do what he says. And that's true. And the whole point you have to come to, the first step of walking out is kind of being a cow, kind of being the kind of person that's manipulated all the time, is that you need to understand where you have some control. You can take as much or as little as you like. You can be your own boss if you want to. I was for some time. I suppose I did okay. We continued to eat. There toward the end, I tried to make a business out of doing computer work, and I found out that I didn't have the desire to do what it took to make it happen ultimately. So I decided I didn't want to do it anymore, and so I went to work for somebody else. And it was my choice, it was my decision. I had control over that. Because I didn't want to have to pay for all of my health care. I don't know if it's my wife or my kids or whatever. I want to be able to have health care. At least my family does. So I went to work for somebody else. I went to work for a university. Big organization. Controls a lot of people. They exercise a bit of control over me, but it's manageable, and it's worth it to me. The amount of money they're paying me and the benefits that I get that normally I would have to pay far much more for, all of a sudden it just kind of works. And I get a lot of freedom. I drive in this car, and when you're in a car driving somewhere, you can't do any work. You're supposed to concentrate on the road, but I can talk into this computer. And so I'm doing these podcasts. It's kind of the ultimate taking kind of control of what you can take control of. And it's kind of fun. And that's part of what I'm doing here. And that's part of what quasi-indefatigable gentleness does. It puts you, it tries to help you find ways to put yourself a little more in control of your life. That way you don't have to follow the anal orifice of the person in front of you. You know, walk in line, stand in line, do everything that you're told to do, because that's the way the world goes around. If I tell you that you're going to have to buy a washing machine, and it's going to be the washing machine that I think is the best, you know, go to Consumer Reports and they'll tell you exactly what washing machine that you want to have, but that's the washing machine you're going to buy, according to advertising or according to whatever group thinks they're going to compare washing machines. It's called becoming smart, and I think intelligence always puts you in better control of your life. Okay. Hey, let me tell you about my washing machine. It's an amazing thing. I love the internet for a few reasons. when the internet first came out, it was marvelous. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry had a website. Everybody was giving them away for free because they thought eventually they'd figure out a way to make some money with it. It was a wild free-for-all back in the 90s. It was great fun, and that was when I first got involved with the internet in a huge way. I was involved with the internet before the World Wide Web happened, but it didn't really take hold until all these people, and not just computer geek type of people, all kinds of people with all kinds of interesting ideas were all of a sudden able to publish their ideas on this wonderful thing called the World Wide Web. That kind of started to go away since people said, you know what, we really want people to have to pay for this. We're really going to try to make this a paying concern. I'm not going to give away stuff for free. I do, but a lot of people don't. But there's a whole lot of people that still do. They set up their own web servers, or they have something on one of the free web servers that's left. There's a lot of advertising on those, but you know, you get used to it. And I went to this website of this really small company. I think they're in Ohio. Staber, S-T-A-B-E-R. I don't know the web address. I think if you put Staber and you put washing machine in on a search engine, take your pick which one it is, I think you'll be able to get to the company okay. They make this really, really cool washing machine. Nobody else has it. You really have to research to find this one. It's really, really good washing machine. It's really efficient. It uses electricity and water in a really efficient way. And it doesn't cost a whole bunch. The latest craze, and let me tell you, cows can't walk away from the latest craze. They love it, and they'll pour money into it. The latest craze now are those front loading washing machines that cost like $2,000, and they really are quite good. The rich and the powerful have kind of glommed onto those and said, this is the washing machine I use. And of course, cows follow whatever the rich and powerful say. And the rich and powerful have decided to go into the washing machine making business, and they're making money hand over fist with you buying $2,000 washing machines. The one I buy only costs a little under $1,000. It costs more than a regular one, but it does such a great job. And I really enjoy it. I did a lot of research on it to make it happen. I didn't get it from Consumer Reports because Consumer Reports didn't know about it. It's not a commercial product. It's not something that you can go down to your local appliance store and get. So it's not very well known at all. But you can find out about it on the internet, and there's a few places where they advertise. And that's what I mean, so being able to be thoughtful and find the things that you really, really want. Well, I'm going to try to keep this down below floppy disk size. I'm starting to run out of things to do, so I don't know what we're going to call this one. I don't know what I'm going to call any of these. I think I'll just come up with the little things that come up. Feel free to contact me with whatever ideas you have or whatever thoughts that are on your mind. It gives me some more fodder to put into the podcast. We're going to have fun. And we're going to learn about how things work so that you can be smarter and you don't have to be a cow. Contact me anytime you want to. My email address is Nemrow at quix.us. Now, that's going to be kind of a tough one to hang with. I think you'll have your best bet. I'm going to have to set up another email account, I bet, after this. So I don't think you should use the Quix one. I'll come up with something else, and I'll put it in one of the webcasts. You can have it. Or maybe I'll add a little tagline in the front of the, or the end of these podcasts so you can have your contact information so you can contact me. Okay, well, that's the end of another podcast. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenolith, Go be different. Don't do what other people do. Don't be a cow.